Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Just gone 8:35 Central African time, at the time of the morning where we join Member of Parliament Ahmed Manzoor Sheikh Imam on his segment, Parliamentary Tunes. Ahmed, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me how you're doing this beautiful Sunday morning.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Indeed, mashallah, beautiful day in the city of Durban, yes, indeed, but about to catch a flight to Cape Town.
Yeah, you're a jet setter. What time is your flight, Ahmed?
No, the flight is at 8:30, but they will be boarding a little before the about 7:50 or so, yeah. But anyway, let's go on.
9 o'clock, because it's 8:30 already.
No, I got my bearings wrong, yeah.
I got a shock. I said, amen. I'm talking to his jinn. But, you know, let's get straight into it. BRICS, your rounding up of the big BRICS. How did you read it? We know Modi really, really went very sulky from here. He had to run with the tails between his legs. And what he saw, he couldn't believe. It all started the day he landed here. Go ahead, Ahmed.
Well, yes, indeed. First of all, let me give credit to our president and to all those that played an active role in ensuring the success of BRICS, indeed. I think we've done exceptionally well. We put South Africa in the center stage, and I think we've commanded a lot of respect as the result of the way we've dealt with the issue of BRICS. So, yes, that's the first thing. The second thing is on the issue of Prime Minister Modi. Of course, I think it went wrong from the time he arrived. Well, rightfully so, but he must also be very grateful and thankful that ordinary South Africans did not want to, this Muslim from the Ummah did not want to disrupt the BRICS to the extent, because it's the first time it was happening here, and to the extent that we wanted it to be a success, particularly as a result of the oppression for many years by the West and Europe. So South African Muslims, to some extent, have not demonstrated or protested the way they would have normally done. Okay? That's the second thing. But as the BRICS itself, the summit, I think with 6 more countries, Saudi Arabia, Iran, and others that have joined, there's many more that want to join, which is a great sign. I think it augurs very well for the future. I think if they can just, stand together and apply the highest levels of morality and principles. And I like what I'm hearing from President Putin. I'm hearing a lot of things. I mean, here it is talking about Islamic financing. But, you know, just on the point of Islamic financing, just look at how the big banks in South Africa take Islamic financing so seriously. So if they can take Islamic financing so seriously, so why can't we introduce it in the world all over? So with what President Putin has been saying, I think it must be welcomed in any event. But I can already see Saudi Arabia is talking about nuclear weapons. Oh, my God. So you're going to see where this is actually going to. But I think for the very first time in the history of politics, economies, the United States of America and Europe are feeling better. There's no doubt about it. Yes, I think what they need to accelerate is the process of de-dollarization. President Ramaphosa has said some great things there for the first time as well, of course, about that African countries must remember they are sovereign states. They don't have to be simply dictated by others and at the mercy of others. He talks about trade, increasing the trade, and yes, indeed, just in the agricultural sector, if we can increase our trade with all our BRICS countries, South Africa will be on an all-time high, I can tell. So, the good thing about it is that many of these countries are talking about a win-win situation for all countries. It's not like one dominating the other. South Africa just needs to take advantage of the opportunities that are now available with BRICS and encourage others to come on board. As far as India is concerned, it might find itself isolated because of its human rights violations and things. And I just hope that the other countries, particularly the number of Muslim countries that are coming on board as well, may be able to put pressure so that every country you know, ensures that they maintain the highest level of human rights in their country, in their respective countries, without any fear or favor. And but on the other hand, if you look at the India is playing a game. They also got this close relationship with Israel and the U.S. and others, which is the reason for why they are behaving in the way they are. And at the same time, they are on BRICS. And if you look at the U.S. is not putting the pressure on the U.S., on India, but it wants to put pressure on South Africa. So you can see how corrupt they are and how divisive they are and how they pick and choose who they should deal with and who they should not deal with.
You know, Ahmed, you talk about the human rights of violations and you talk about the new members that have been accepted. You know, there's questions about China. And also the question here is on, you're looking at Saudi Arabia being accepted with, who's the other country there? Both have human rights violations.
Egypt is involved, yeah.
Yeah, Egypt. Egypt also having human rights violations.
UAE is also there, yeah.
Talk to me about that scenario. I mean, it's selective, but these countries do have human rights violations. But as you said, perhaps India, you know, is beyond control. Talk to us, Ahmed.
Well, I think what is important here to note is this, that what we don't want is any country abusing its people based on the color of their skin, based on their religion, based on, you know, abuse of power and things. We believe it must not happen. You know, this is just basically what we are saying. You know, if you look at for decades, if not centuries, the U.S., the U.K. have always been abusing people all over the world, manipulating them, causing havoc and chaos. So these are the things we are saying must be a thing of the past. You know, I see your brothers are very, very busy, Brother Shapur, very busy. You got about 30 metro police just giving tickets. It's time to collect money. It's even wow. Municipalities got no money. It's the only way they can bring in money.
Now, I hope they're not stopping you, Ahmed.
No, they don't normally stop me now. So I could be carrying unlawful things. They don't stop me. When they see me, they let me go. So that is why that is why so much of unlawful stuff is coming into the country. Don't you know that?
Hey, you know the story.
Because when
you
they
know
come through the when they come to the checkpoints, they see these faces and they just let them in. Little are they realizing that these are the people that are the carriers.
Absolutely. They got diplomatic immunity, people. Well, Ahmed, the former Mozambique president, Chissano meets with Mnangagwa as the country is on the edge of, is Mnangagwa the winner? It seems as if Zimbabwe and Mozambique are trying to get an alliance going, Ahmed.
Well, there is no doubt. There is absolutely being reached in Zimbabwe right now. But if you look at the opposition, CCC, won all the seats, all 12 seats, I'm told, in Bulawayo. You know, so I think they're giving Mnangagwa a run for his money, but, well, of course, the people's money. But I think what is important to note is just that the elections are really not free and fair. But I'll tell you what, many of these organizations, including SADC, which is toothless and, you know, spineless, is going to come up and say it's a free, fair, and credible election. I've seen it, you know, I've been part of the SADC observer mission as well when it comes to elections. You know, they're just not worth fit for purpose, to be honest. So, yes, they might declare it free and fair, but all indications are that the opposition has done extremely well. In fact, the opposition is crying foul. They are on the opinion that this election is being rigged, but that they have actually won this election as part of it. In fact, if you saw what happened, they were already having a media briefing when it was disrupted. You know, so yes, there's a whole lot going on, but I don't think this is going to bring stability in Zimbabwe because it's an African country. You know, if you don't win free and fair elections, then all you'll do is you'll start assassinating. If you can't beat them, you destroy them. This is what it is all about in African politics. And unless we change that, you know, that is why it's important to educate the youngsters But my problem with the younger generation is there is this culture of entitlement that is making it even difficult. So that's where we are, you know. But anyway, inshallah, let's just see that, you know, sanity prevails in Africa, that we bring in a new generation of leaders, people that are ethical, you know, maintain high levels of morals, people, the leaders that are people-driven, you know, not just selfish, looking at their own interests. So I just hope that we get to that stage sometimes. But it's not an easy one. We have to start from grassroots.
You know, I think it's a very important thing indeed, because when you look at headlines, another ANC councillor has been shot and killed in KwaZulu-Natal, which has led to an increase in the murder of councillors in the province and other parts of the country. And the ANC councillor in Moses Mabhida region said that the murder of Imbongulu Imkiz of Ward 41 in Imsunduzi, a local municipality, comes a few days after another councillor, Councillor Mkamba Bantani, has been shot. I mean, what's going on? The councillors getting shot one after another.
Well, you can look at what has happened to us, Brother Shafan, particularly. I mean, yes. Now, this is what I said when I say, if you can't, they can't beat you, then they assassinate. But look at what has happened to us. They killed our one councillor. We went and stood as an independent. We won the ward. Now we took over the municipality in Nongoma. After we took over the municipality, they tried to bribe our one councillor not to vote with them. When our councillor refused, the councillor had assassination attempts on his life. When that failed, they attempted three times. Then they killed our councillor, 75-year-old councillor, through the window, shot her and killed her. After shooting and killing her, they need one more to die. You understand? To be able to get the numbers to take over the municipality. And what has happened now? So they attempted to kill the other councillor of ours. They shot him. And he's critical in hospital at this point in time. The bodyguard was also shot, but more importantly, the suspect, the hitman, was also injured and he's arrested. And strange enough, the hitman appears to be a previous bodyguard for the mayor of IFP. How do you like that one? And lives close to the former speaker of IFP's house. So we know where it's coming, but let us not insinuate anything. Let the police do their work. We know what it is all about, and that's the difficulty we're having. So well, they can't beat you, they assassinate you.
Gee, sad indeed, Ahmad. And then we see Thabo Mbeki, castigating Julius Malema, telling him that he shouldn't be singing that song, which is a very unhealthy song. And it had its time and place, but he shouldn't be bringing it back again. And Mbeki was also pleading with young people to vote in elections. And, he also tells them that they should be voting for the ANC. So Mbeki coming as a savior for the ANC, Ahmad?
Just say that again. I didn't hear that, sir.
Thabo Mbeki, is asking or pleading with the young people to vote in the elections. Has he come in as a savior for the ANC?
Yeah, it's a very difficult situation we find ourselves in, But yes, indeed, I think it's not only the youth. Yes, a very large percent of the youth don't vote in this country. But not only the youth we must look at. We must look at people that are not voting must come in and be part of the solutions of the problem in the country. They can't sit back and think it's going to change. No, it's not going to change. I can tell you, it's definitely not going to change. It will only change if we become part and parcel of the solutions. Yeah. You know, this is the thing. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, Ahmad, I think you got you're standing in the queue to get aboard the plane, or you're on.
Yeah.
I think we're going to give you chutti on that, Ahmad. Then
okay.
Perhaps make your journey easier for you. Jazakallah khair, Ahmad. A safe trip to Cape Town.
Okay, inshallah. Okay, Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.